You're listening to Montana Talks, bringing truth and freedom to Montana. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Enjoyed chatting with Mike Rowe and Governor Gianforte, and just about work. I don't know about you guys, but you know, but I am so thankful for the fact that I was able to start working at a young age. You know, I was able to stuff newspapers in like fourth grade, make some. We've joked about this before with our friend Becky Hillier when she joins us here on Freedom Friday for our look at the bright side moments. You know, she worked as a kid in Miles City. I worked as a kid in Glasgow, stuffing newspapers, making my own money so I could go get those nacho cheese Olays at Taco John's and everything like that. But I got to throw this audio out here first and then get Becky's reaction to it. So Will Cain on Fox News yesterday was apparently talking about some of the worker problems. Starbucks, apparently their union's trying to go after Starbucks. And then at Target, wait till you hear what some of the workers at Target are complaining about now. Not the Billings folks. This is probably the folks back on the east and the left coast here.
Employees are upset after the latest contract talks stalled. They're seeking better hours and pay, as well as improved staffing in stores. Starbucks says it's already offering the best pay package, worth an average of $30 an hour. Some of their benefits include up to 18 weeks of paid family leave and covering 100% tuition for a four-year college degree. Meanwhile, at Target, employees are not happy about having to be happy. The company implementing a new staff policy called 10-4. When employees are within 10 feet of a customer, they're required to use friendly body language, like smiling and making eye contact. When they're within 4 feet, they must personally greet the customer. But workers are already not smiling, saying nothing says corporate joy like a mandatory smile. And there is no way they've lived on this planet for years and think, oh, waving is a completely natural thing to do with guests.
Oh, man, Becky Hillier, I hope you were able to hear that audio. Were you able to hear that, or should I give you a summary?
I wasn't. I was sitting there wishing I could hear it, but I couldn't hear it, dang it.
I wondered, because we have you on the studio line today, and so I was like, right. Oh, shoot, the studio line is also the line that I play my sound bites from here. Basically, I'll start with Target first. Apparently, some of the Target employees are complaining because Target is telling them they have to smile when greeting customers. Could you imagine about complaining?
I tell people that all the time. Well, you need to smile more.
Yeah, it's like, but this is your job. They're paying you to do a lot of things. One of them is to smile. Oh, you can't make me smile. What?
Oh, goodness. You know, to me, that's just part of customer service. If you're working with the public, you want them to come in and have a great experience where you're working, right? And part of that is just smiling, because smiling and looking pleasant helps set the right tone for people with their experience. So I don't think that's necessarily out of hand.
I just thought it should
be common sense to me.
Yeah, I just thought, when I heard that, I was like, are you kidding me? They're mad that they're being forced to smile. It's like, you're not being asked to work in an underground mine with a jackhammer, with an oxygen mask on or anything. You're just simply being asked to smile while you walk around an air-conditioned or a heated building, for Pete's sake. All right, we'll talk more with Becky Hillier right after this. Stand by.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. For today, becoming mostly cloudy with rain becoming likely for Bozeman, a slight chance for a late day shower for Billings, high temperatures into the upper 50s, close to 60 for Bozeman, but closer to the upper 60s for Billings. For tonight, slight chance for a shower in the evening, mid-30s for lows for Bozeman, with low 40s for Billings. And that's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Michael Caro.
This is House Call for Health. Time to break out the bubbly. Or not. Costco recalling about 1 million bottles of a sparkling white wine over concerns about potential bottle breakage issues. In a notice by the Consumer Product Safety Commission, the recalled wine is Kirkland Signature Val di Biadene Prosecco. The agency says the bottles were sold in 12 states from April through August of this year, and they're green with purple foil and a purple label. The agency says F&F Wines International, the manufacturer of the wine, has received about 10 reports of bottles breaking or shattering, resulting in at least one laceration injury. The CPSC says consumers should immediately stop using the wine and should not open the bottles if they haven't been opened already. The commission also says the bottles should be placed in paper towels or a plastic bag before disposal. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August. Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck. Listen and subscribe.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, back to it here with Becky Hillier on this Freedom Friday. She's got a great look at the bright side story. I think I've got one as well, even for you here this week. But, Becky, you were just telling me during the break that yesterday was World Kindness Day, because I asked you if what kind of fun memes and things you've been sharing on your Facebook page. But, yeah, yesterday was World Kindness Day. That's interesting because, you know, as I was playing this clip about how some Target workers are complaining that corporate is trying to force them to smile at customers, it's like, kind of like a Montana thing to do is, even if you're not an employee at the store, most Montanans, if you pass somebody else in a store, would typically smile and, you know, nod your head at somebody just passing you through the store. And you're not even paid to work there, right?
Maybe we get some kind of differential or something. But yes, so yesterday was World Kindness Day. And, you know, I just wrote that the world is a much better place when we give people a piece of our heart instead of a piece of our mind. And I think it's important to remember that not everyone is going to be kind. And whatever they're going through that might influence that, you know, you have to understand that not everybody will be kind every time you meet them. There are people right now who are rooting for you, and there are people right now who are rooting against you. But my philosophy is you be grateful for both and you be kind to both, because the kindness that you show to the unkind may be the grace and inspiration that they've been needing to make a positive change in their life. So be the person you want to have in your life and model that good behavior, and it can be those ripples in a pond that can make a difference for others.
You worked at a young age in Miles City. I talked about where, you know, we've talked about this before, the jobs we had, you know, both, I think both of us in the restaurant business as well at some point. But
yeah,
smiling at customers. I mean, that was kind of just a customer service 101. Do you remember anything else that your employers over the years had kind of leaned on you or had expressed upon you?
Oh, gosh, no. But it was, I mean, a lot of that, Aaron, was just common sense, because when you grow up in a place like Montana, you are just naturally, I guess, more friendly and more in tune to people, and you want to cater to people. And so my first job was as a dishwasher when I was 10 years old, and I loved going out and restocking the salad bar, because I would have contact with humans, with other people, and I'd smile and ask them if they were having a good night. And just that simple act, like, I was proud of the job I had. Nobody had to tell me to go out there and be pleasant and be nice and smile. I mean, it was just common sense, because I thought, that's what I like to see when I'm out in public.
Yeah.
I like to see people who are pleasant, who are happy being where they are and doing what they're doing. It makes your experience better as well. So, I mean, I think for most of us, I don't think that I'm an anomaly. I think for most of us, we just get that. It's common sense.
Yeah,
so
although
you just treat people the way you want to be treated.
Although I do have to laugh, because there are, you know, folks who, like, you obviously love being around people. And so getting out of the dishwasher, you know, the heat and the mess and the muck of being the dishwasher and getting out to see people and cleanliness was probably a nice change of pace. Some people, I get it, like, I would rather be back washing dishes than out in front having to greet people. In fact, it was funny that Will Cain segment where he was talking about these Target workers complaining about, you know, being forced to smile at their customers. He had on the guys from this Ruthless podcast, and one of the guys that wears sunglasses on TV, he was like, hey, hey, Will, I got to stand up for these Target workers. He says, I'm the kind of guy, when I go into a store, I don't want them greeting me. I don't want them smiling at me. I want to be left alone. I want to go in and get what I want and get the heck out of there. So you do not have to smile and greet me. I thought that was kind of funny, too, because, you know, I joked about how, hey, all you got to do is smile at folks as they enter the store. I mean, is it really that hard to do? I mean, it's not like you're in an underground mine, right, operating a jackhammer. But then again, some of those underground miners would probably tell me right now, Aaron, I would rather be operating a jackhammer in an underground mine than having to greet people and smile at people.
And that's true. Not everybody is a people person. You know, it's not for everyone. But it takes so little effort to just, even if you don't want to smile, just look pleasant. I mean, I think that's pretty easy for all of us to do. And especially if we're working somewhere, people are coming in, it all goes back to basic customer service. So,
well, and then the Starbucks story was kind of crazy, too, because they're in contract negotiations, apparently, with their baristas right now. I didn't realize how lavish the benefits package is for Starbucks baristas. I mean, basically, when you combine the benefits and the pay, it's about $30 an hour, they're claiming at least, right?
Wow.
And they'll pay full tuition for a four-year degree. That's what I love, Becky, is that I can say whatever the heck I want to on the radio, and if they don't like it and if they want to can me for it, I'll go be a barista or a waiter. So what? You know, so I'm going to keep saying what I want to say. And if you want to fire me, I'll go make more money making coffee.
Hey, whatever works. You know, I have a family member who works for Starbucks and he hasn't, you know, he went there because of the benefits, but he said that he's not getting the benefits right now because they're not scheduling him for the minimum amount of hours for him to qualify consistently for the benefits.
Very
so
sneaky.
So I said, well, because they pay tuition. And yes, exactly. So they're keeping him under that 30-hour-a-week cap, so he can't access those benefits.
See, and
so
this is why people...
he is looking for other employment.
This is why people get ticked off at corporate America. You know what I mean? Like, some of these folks, is it's like, oh, well, look at what we do. We do all these lavish benefits. Oh, but we're going to make sure you don't get enough hours to actually qualify for those benefits.
And it is a fine balance because you have to run a business. It's the cost of business. Like, I get it from both standpoints,
sure.
But for those people who come there to work because of the benefits that you have marketed to them and then they don't get them, then it feels like a switcheroo.
Yep, that's when the green apron gets taken off and folded into a big clump and thrown on the table. All right, hold that thought. We're gonna put our aprons aside for just a moment here, take a quick break, get to the Farm and Ranch Report and more, and then we'll look at the bright side with Becky Hillier right after this.
Fox on Football. I'm Jared Max. Football Americano in Madrid. The seventh and last NFL game of this season's International Series kicks off Sunday morning, 9:30 Eastern Time in Madrid between the Dolphins and Commanders. It'll be the first NFL regular season game ever played in Spain. The final game Sunday, possible preview of the NFC Championship. NFC East leading 7-2 Eagles host the 6-3 Lions, who were tied for first place with the Bears in the NFC North. Chicago visits Minnesota, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on Fox. Tom Brady and Kevin Burkhardt will call it. Fox also has the Giants-Packers game in the early window Sunday. Jameis Winston starts at quarterback for the Giants. First place on the line in the NFC West. 7-2 Rams host the 7-2 Seahawks. 4 p.m. Eastern Sunday on Fox. Co-favorites with the Eagles to win Super Bowl 60. Despite just a 5-4 record, the Chiefs visit the 8-2 Broncos, who've won 7 games in a row. Jared Max, Fox News.
Man, I tell you what a nice surprise that was. What a show that was. So Wednesday afternoon, I see this press release from the governor's office. The one and only Mike Rowe, you know, the dirty jobs guy, Mike Rowe in Montana. So I'm like, oh, man, we got to get Mike Rowe on the show. And that's exactly what we made happen for you. We had the governor and Mike Rowe on Thursday's Montana Talks. What do we got coming up Friday? Hey, you never know. But you know, we're going to try to take your phone calls with Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk.
Here's that song again.
For the 100th time today.
Here's that song again.
It's gonna be stuck in your head all day.
Yay! Here's that song again. It will make you cray cray.
You
love your kids enough to watch that TV show a bajillion times. Love them enough to make sure they're in the right car seat for their age and size. Show them you love them. Keep them safe. Visit NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Hi, everyone.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordland.
Duckworth, the Montana-based merino wool apparel company, 100% made in the USA, now has an official MSU Bobcat clothing line. Daniel Mao is president of Duckworth.
I mean, it's a partnership that goes back decades because we work with the wool lab up on campus to test every one of our fleeces that comes off of the sheep to make sure it goes into the appropriate garment. So to be able to bring that full circle with officially licensed MSU gear is just an incredible opportunity for us to elaborate and expand that partnership. The wool fiber being used in our garments is such a minute part of the entire industry. So to have the wool lab supporting Montana ranchers and ranches across the United States to try to increase the clip so that we can do more of this it's very, very, very important to the industry.
What are some ways that Bobcat fans can interact, get some of this swag, or maybe stop by in Bozeman or online to get some of this great gear?
First, come to the bookstore in late fall and pick up some officially licensed Bobcat gear, Duckworth gear there. You can hop on our website, duckworthco.com, and pick up all of our amazing products there and continue to support us, support the work of the Wool Lab, and support the entire wool industry in America.
The Duckworth MSU Wool Apparel line is available at the MSU Bookstore or on the MSU Bookstore website. And if for some reason you are a fan of that other school in Montana and don't have the confidence to wear MSU Bobcat gear, you can just visit the Duckworth website and get some non-MSU branded clothing as well. I'm Lane Nordlund.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Sounds like our friend Lane Nordlund is getting a little grumpy that if he wants to watch the Cat Grizz game this year, he's got to travel to Missoula for it. That's a fun report, though, that Duckworth is a cool company, what they do. Montana, you know, ranch family that then, you know, value-added agriculture right there, taking their wool from their sheep and turning it into some other great products. Becky Hillier, this wasn't the bright side story that you had planned, but this is a great bright side story nonetheless. Well, I guess I should have double-checked if you can mention this one. So your awesome husband, Mitch, is a Billings police officer, and he came home the other day, and anyway, led to a really cool conversation. Can you share that one with our listeners?
Oh, sure, yeah. Well, yeah, as a police officer, you know, he sees the worst in people, and he usually meets people at the worst moment of their lives. And so sometimes it's not always really uplifting or positive. And a lot of times throughout the day, there are a lot of things that happen. You know, you kind of look at it through that filter of there are so many bad things, so many bad people. But he came home one day and he said, you know what? I was thinking about the day, and then this little thing happened, and this little thing happened, and I was just so grateful for that. And it made me think, you know, yeah, there is still good in the day. And it reminded me of one of my favorite quotes, which is, every day may not be good, but there is good in every day. And so I shared that with him, and he said, oh, my gosh, that's true. And he thought about that, and he thinks about it every day now. Like, he finds something every day during the day that was positive or good. And when you think of it that way, you just kind of flip the script, and it reframes the way you look at everything during the day. So there may have been a major disappointment or something that happened that was negative or not so good or not in your favor. But then you start searching for the little tidbits of good, the little bits of sunshine that come through during the day. So maybe you were waiting to get out into heavy traffic and someone stopped and let you in. They waved you in. I'm always so grateful and thankful when somebody does that. Or if they stop and they don't block the way out of a business and so you can get out. Or maybe somebody smiled at you. We're talking about smiling. Maybe somebody smiled at you when you passed them on the sidewalk, or someone you really respect gave you a heartfelt compliment on something. So there are those little tidbits of good during the day, and instead of getting so lost in all the negativity and the heaviness of the day, always try to search at some point during that day for something good that happened. Could be very simple. But seize on those good moments, because there is good in every day, even if every day isn't good.
Yeah, or if you're one of those introverts, wow, I just had a great day. Nobody smiled at me. It was awesome. Nobody greeted me at the store.
3 minutes,
so there you go. So find your bright side moment. You can figure it out on your own. Well, and I also think that, you know, even in those tough times and in those challenging times, this is why great people like your husband Mitch stepped up and served in the first place, is so that you could be there in the middle of those hard times, so you could be there confronting the bad guys, right, and helping the good guys. And so even that itself is a bright side to what could be the dark side of things. Share your bright side story of the week for us. Your look at the bright side story of the week. Our friend George Blackard would appreciate it because he's a Kansas kid, and this is a Kansas story.
Yeah, this happened in Overland Park, Kansas, a couple of months ago. This guy named Kevin Ryder, they didn't give his age, but he looked to be in his 60s, and he goes on a jog every day. And so one morning he went out for a jog. He was feeling really good and strong, he says. He crossed the street, and that's the last thing he remembers. He had a heart attack and collapsed on the sidewalk. So right at that moment, a nurse named Grady and another friend who was also a nurse, they were in a hurry to get out of town to get away for a few days, and they saw this commotion on the sidewalk, all of these people milling about, so they decided to pull over and see what was going on. Well, in doing so, they realized this man was having a major medical emergency. So being nurses, they started CPR. They took turns doing chest compressions on him until the ambulance got there. And as they loaded Kevin in the back of the ambulance, Grady was looking at him thinking, and I don't know what hospital he's going to, but it doesn't look good for him. And he didn't think that he had a very positive prognosis. So 6 days later, Grady is back from vacation, and he goes back into work at one of the local hospitals. He's normally stationed in the ICU, but for that particular day, they moved him to the comprehensive cardiac care unit. So when he got there, he was getting a rundown on all of the patients and their backstories, and one of the patient's stories sounded eerily familiar. So he goes to check it out. He goes to the man's room, and there's Kevin lying in the bed, surrounded by his 7 children, recovering from his heart attack. And Grady realized this is the man that he stopped to help. Now, Kevin likely would have died from that heart attack had Grady and his other nurse friend decided, you know what, we're not going to bother with that. You know, whatever's going on, we don't want to be a part of it. We're going to get out of town. But instead, they chose to stop. So you think about all of these coincidences that these trained professionals were driving by right as Kevin had his heart attack. They chose to stop and help him. And then when Grady gets back on shift, instead of being assigned to his normal rotation in the ICU, he's sent to the cardiac unit where he once again crosses paths with Kevin.
That's incredible. That's incredible. Hold that thought. And also, what about this idea of strange coincidences, right? Becky, what a great bright side story this week here. Yeah, strange coincidences, right? Or is it that there's no coincidences at all? Like, you know, maybe you got that reason to stop for a reason. Maybe you got that little that little idea in the back of your brain that telling you to call that person for a reason, right?
Exactly. Well, and there's a book called God Winks. And I gave several of those books away on my Facebook page years ago because it's just short first-person stories of real accounts of these God winks in their lives when they were moved by some kind of, you know, internal compulsion to call or to act. And it really speaks to not coincidences, but divinely orchestrated coincidences. We are all placed in certain places at certain times. And then we have a choice of what we're going to do about that. And in that particular story, had Grady and his friend just driven on by because they were in a hurry to get out of town, it's likely Kevin would have died. He wouldn't have been able to be there with his 7 children. And so it just really speaks to everything happens for a reason. And what happens when we choose to answer that internal call that we have to do something, to act.
Yeah, what a great story. I shared this one with you earlier off air, but kind of my bright side story of the week. Last night, Jessica and I were able to go to this really cool event benefiting the Flathead Food Bank. They had a big concert with these incredible singers, one guy from Big Fork, who had been, Tommy Edwards is his name, he and his dad, it was a father-son duo, but Tommy had been on The Voice 3 or 4 years ago. That guy was incredible. But anyway, the head of the Flathead Food Bank shared this story. I think it was from last Thanksgiving. They were handing out Thanksgiving meals, and he said, this lady pulls up. She's got three kids in the car. He hands her the turkey dinner for Thanksgiving. She grabs his arm, and he's like, uh-oh, what did I do? What did I do wrong? And this lady looks at him and intently says, hey, these aren't my three kids here. These are my grandkids. They were all three in foster care. Two of them were together. The third was separated. She says, I pieced together everything I possibly could to get our own apartment, to get all the kids together so we can all be together. I didn't think we would be able to have a Thanksgiving dinner. Now we can because of you guys. Wow.
Oh, that's beautiful. Isn't that beautiful? That's amazing. Now, that is a bright side story, Aaron. Thanks for sharing that.
Oh, it's just incredible. And we know that that's happening at food banks all across the state, frankly, right now. And so many people that have been meeting the needs in the midst of the federal government shutdown and things like that, too. And, of course, our friends Mark and Paul down the hall and the Breakfast Flakes and what they've been doing, you know, in their near 40 years on the radio with Flakesgiving. It's just so remarkable and cool to be a part of the same team as them with what they're doing on that front. Becky Hilliard, great to have you on the show on this Freedom Friday, as always. Thanks so much for your time, and give Mitch a high five for us once again.
I will do that. Thanks, Aaron. Have a great weekend.
Hey, you too. Thank you very much. Yeah, I mentioned some of the performers they had at this Feed the Need concert last night in Kalispell. Man, Tommy Edwards. That guy was incredible. And the fact that his dad was singing with him, holy cow.
Winter.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Well, we're going to talk. We're going to switch tracks here, get back to the big news of the day, the big news of the week here. 43 days for what? 43 days of a government shutdown for what? That's the question we had been focused on here. But, you know, earlier in the week, as the federal government shutdown finally came to an end after a handful of Senate Democrats voted with Republicans who had been voting all along to keep the government open. Anyway, we're going to talk about the, you know, will there be fallout? What is the fallout from the federal government shutdown? And more. Great to have Grover Norquist, the president of Americans for Tax Reform, back with us here on Montana Talks. Grover, always an honor to have you on the show. Thanks for being back with us.
Aaron, good to be with you.
So you and I were just chatting briefly during the break here, and so I can't wait to hear, you know, kind of more of your extended commentary, because so earlier this week I was, you know, a couple of us were talking on the show here about, okay, they shut down the federal government, and for what? Basically now Democrats put a gigantic spotlight on how unaffordable the so-called Affordable Care Act truly is. They also, I think, put a big spotlight on all of the fraud that's taking place inside the food stamp program right now. Your thoughts?
Yes, we need now to pivot to why did the Democrats keep saying they wanted to have $400 billion, $500 billion of subsidies for Obamacare for COVID when COVID was in the past, and why do we need to continue such subsidies? And the answer, of course, is that those subsidies were to paper over the failure of Obamacare. Obamacare, we remember, was sold to us by Obama with one, you can keep your doctor. That was a lie. It was sold that every family would see a savings of $2,500. Your health insurance costs would go down by $2,500. Instead, they doubled. And as this is going on and the system was going bankrupt because it didn't work, they wanted to throw more money on it. To say this will save it. And that's what they were trying to do, is cover up. Instead of going, why is this failing? Why is this not doing what Obama said it would do? And how do we change it, fix it? make it not, make it do what we're supposed to do, which basically means reduce it and make it less horrible. This is, we're now looking at talking about the failures of Obamacare, something we should have been talking about all along. We somehow, you know, we did Obamacare, we lost, and then we focused on other things while Obamacare continued to fail into the future. Democrats have bailed it out whenever they have power. But the answer should be, and I think will be, because I've talked to the Republicans, they want to have in the new reconciliation package, the next tax bill that just requires a simple majority in the House and Senate, so no Democrat needs to vote for it, to expand the number of Americans who have the option of of health savings accounts, which you're like retirement accounts, but they're for health and health, and you run them, not somebody else, not some bureaucrat. 70 million Americans have that. It could be 150 million Americans, except the Democrats have fought efforts to expand it for all Americans. We can do that within the reconciliation package. So say, you know, you like your Obamacare and how expensive it is, you can keep it. But yeah, if you want something that works, talk to 70 million people. You know, there are also various religious groups that get together, 1.7 million, and they pool, they're best generally set up around churches and religious structures, where they pool the risk and the insurance. 1.7 million Americans do that. That could be 10 times as big with a few changes in how easy it is to get it. Instead of make it difficult, you want to make it as easy as possible.
Yeah, so going back to
off-ramp.
Yeah, going back to what you're talking about with basically like these health savings accounts, if I'm using the correct terminology here, I thought this was just a brilliant maneuver by President Trump here. So going back to the start of the federal government shutdown, we all know the Democrats were shutting down the federal government because they wanted $1.6 trillion in more spending. They wanted our money to go to illegal aliens to get free health care while they continued to destroy our health care. But then the Democrats tried to pivot, and the willing media went along with it, and they tried to make it about Obamacare subsidies, COVID-era subsidies that even their bill planned for going away. But even that, I think, blew up in their face, because I had a conversation with Lauren Stewart from Americans for Prosperity on Capitol Hill a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
And she brilliantly pointed out this CMS, this Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services report that showed that with the subsidies – that the cost actually goes up even higher, and the options in healthcare go down even further. And you talked about how the subsidies were being used to mask the failures of Obamacare, but in reality, it didn't mask it. It actually still continued to make it worse. But then the other thing she pointed out is that these Obamacare subsidies were basically going from we the people, the taxpayers, straight into the pockets of the insurance companies, whether people were using the insurance or not. And so contrast that with what President Trump is talking about is, hey, instead of giving this money to insurance companies in the Unaffordable Care Act, we give the money straight to you so you can use it for actual health care. Wow, what a concept.
Well, the reason why that money goes straight to insurance companies is that the first time when Bill Clinton tried to get government dramatically more involved in your health care, whether you wanted it or not, the insurance companies ran ads and said, this is a bad idea, this government program. So when Obama came back, he said, okay, let's make all the people who were fighting for freedom rich. Let us stuff their mouths with gold, which is the phrase used by the British when they said, how are you going to get the doctors not to fight a government takeover of health care? And the socialists said, we will stuff their mouths with gold. That is how we will make the doctors not tell people the truth about government-run health care. And they just keep putting more and more people on the payroll, and it gets expensive. just not very helpful for health care.
Yeah. Well, and I think I'm wondering, too, if we're seeing if this is basically the Mamdani effect, the commie Mamdani effect. And, of course, you know the reference there, the new mayor-elect of New York City. So why was New York City so unaffordable? because of Joe Biden, Biden inflation, and his buddies like John Tester that drove up the cost of everything. And then a bunch of illegal aliens invade the city, drive up the cost, make New York City more unaffordable. And so what do New York voters do? Oh, let's reward the very same Democrat Party that destroyed this city. Let's now reward them. But what the Democrats do is they go in deliberately to destroy something like health care so that they can get their socialized medicine, so they can get their commie mom Donnie solution eventually down the road. And that's exactly what they're trying to do with these Obamacare subsidies, continue to destroy health care so they can try to force everybody into their socialist system.
There were Republicans, conservatives, economists who looked at Obamacare and said, this is not sustainable, it will fail. And they went to the Democrats and said, you know, this thing will go bankrupt and it won't work. And the response they got in a low voice was, it's designed to fail. We know it's going to fail. And when it fails, kind of like public schools, the answer will be, pay everybody involved twice as much to do the same thing. And raise spending to fix the problem. Are people inside the system worse off than people outside this? Well, we'll force everybody inside the system, so we're all equal. They designed a program that they knew would fail, and they believed it would fail into more big government, more subsidies, more. And we have an opportunity to say, your failure has been noted. We are opening the gates, opening the doors for people to leave Obamacare and go to health savings accounts or various different opportunities, trade associations that run their own insurance companies, not-for-profit and so on. There are lots of different ways to do this. You just can't throw all the subsidies into one program that's not working.
Well, and I wonder now, you know, because Republicans, like you say, they should have gotten this job done before the last time they controlled Congress. But I believe that this Congress right now, this Senate right now, with this new crop of freshman senators in particular, and with President Donald Trump at the helm right now, many people are simply amazed that the Republicans actually stuck together, actually held it together, didn't cave, didn't break, didn't fold during this shutdown battle with the Democrats. And hopefully this is a sign that they can stick together and stand together and finally scrap this horrific Obamacare program and like you say, provide some new options here. I got to take a quick break. Grover, if you can, stick with us. I'd love to chat more after this.
Fox Sports Update.
So that's the way it ends tonight in Foxborough. First game of week number 11, 27-14. New England on Thursday night.
8 consecutive wins for the New England Patriots. On Prime Video, the Pats beat the Jets 27-14 to improve their record to 9-2, best in the NFL. 1 year ago, New England's record at this point in the season was 3-8. First-year Patriots coach Mike Vrabel watched his second-year quarterback Drake May throw for 281 yards and a touchdown, a score to Travion Henderson, who reached the end zone 3 times versus the Jets. Henderson ran for 2 touchdowns. Stephon Diggs went over 100 receiving yards for the third time this season, 9 catches, 105 yards. Jets quarterback Justin Fields threw 1 touchdown, ran for 67 yards. The Jets' record dropped to 2-8. College football Sun Belt Conference. Old Dominion went to town on Troy with a 33-0 shutout. ODU was 7-3, dropped Troy to 6-4. First time in 9 years Old Dominion has won 7 games in a season. It's a college football Friday on Fox, 9 o'clock Eastern time tonight. 8th-ranked Oregon hosts Minnesota on Fox Network TV.
The National MVP is Shohei Ohtani. The American League MVP, Aaron Judge.
The announcements made by Don Mattingly on MLB Network Thursday. Ohtani won his 3rd straight MVP award and 2nd in as many years since he joined the Dodgers. The Phillies' Kyle Schwarber a distant 2nd, 4th unanimous MVP in 5 years for Ohtani. 3rd MVP in 4 years for Aaron Judge, who won a 2nd straight in the American League, beat out the Mariners' Kyle Raleigh. Judge received 355 voting points, Raleigh 335. NBA, Devin Booker scored 33 points for the Suns, who dropped the Pacers to 1-11 with a 133-98 blowout win. I'm Jared Max.
Get more on the Fox Sports app and foxsports.com.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. For today, becoming mostly cloudy with rain becoming likely for Bozeman, a slight chance for a late day shower for Billings. High temperatures into the upper 50s, close to 60 for Bozeman, but closer to the upper 60s for Billings. For tonight, slight chance for a shower in the evening, mid-30s for lows for Bozeman, with low 40s for Billings. And that's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Michael Caro.
42 days for what? I forget who I was listening to, but they asked that very good question. Democrats shut down the government for 42, well, officially 43 days, and for what? They wanted to give your money to illegal aliens. They put the spotlight on what a failure Obamacare is. They put a spotlight on the fraud in the food stamp program. The Democrats shut it all down. And for what? Check out that story and more. Go to MontanaTalks.com.
Everyone. Montana Talks, where you get the mic. Call in now at 406-294-0970. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
All right, great. Grover Norquist is able to stick around with us here till the remainder of the hour. Very excited to have a little bit more time with Grover here. He is the president of Americans for Tax Reform. He has been one of the leading conservative thinkers slash activists, however you want to describe it, going all the way back to the Reagan 1980s. So we've got the end of the federal government shut down. Did the Democrats, who voted repeatedly over 6 weeks to keep the government shut down, win anything other than a scorched earth battle of wills within their own party? That's kind of what we've been talking about here with Grover Norquist. Grover, what's your thoughts? I mean, I think it is worth highlighting the fact that the Republicans finally held together in a shutdown battle. They didn't cave. They didn't cower. Obviously, the biggest credit goes to President Trump and his strength backing them. But I also think we've got a Republican House under Speaker Johnson that's more united, I think, and this new freshman batch of senators that Senator Steve Daine helped get across the finish line last year. I think all of that is combining. So it makes me wonder, will they be more united in an Obamacare fight moving forward or other fights moving forward?
Yes, and there are a series of things here. I get tired of hearing when three Republicans in the Senate don't vote with every other Republican, which is enough to stop something. The headline reads, Republicans don't do this, okay? I'm sorry, it was three people, and it's the same three. Or in the House, that we don't have enough votes to do something because five people have a problem with the bill. Republicans failed to do X. If you look at when the Democrats have had successes, there was the 2 years of the New Deal. They had 80% of the House and 80% of the Senate and had many more people vote no than ever in the Republican Party voted no. They just had wild majorities. And so the Democrats were able to win, even with people who, in my district, I cannot do this. In my state, I cannot do this. They still had a majority. Then you go ahead exactly 30 years to the new Great Society. New Deal was FDR, Great Society. It was Lyndon Johnson. And they had 70% of the House and 70% of the Senate. And they were able to pass all these massive new spending programs with many Democrats defecting. We have majorities in the House and the Senate of more recently three or four in the House, two or three in the Senate. So the Republicans need to have a level of cohesion that the Democrats never had and don't need when they had the supermajorities in the past. It's very important that we are able to keep these together. That's why the victories that you mentioned of Senator Daine, who changed the world with his very successful efforts at the Senate, we owe the Republican Senate to Senator Daine and the competent Republican Senate to Senator Daine. But where we missed, we didn't get to move Obamacare out to the states and in effect block grant it by one vote. And that was John McCain. Okay. Yeah. Don't blame the Republican Party for John McCain.
Yeah, that's one guy. Don't blame everybody else. Grover, we got less than a minute to go, 30 seconds to go. What else do you want to tell folks all across Montana?
First of all, I really appreciate your governor's leadership and the state legislator leadership in taking your income tax rates down. I know that the governor wants to take it down below 5% and get to a single rate tax. The most important thing you can do is to get to a single rate tax. Seven states in the last 4 years have moved to a flat tax, a single rate tax. Why? Because it's very difficult to raise a flat rate tax. Once you everybody's paying the same amount, even in Illinois, their flat rate is under 5%. Illinois' flat rate is 4.95%, okay? And they can't raise it.
Yeah, that was one of the big accomplishments, of the Montana legislature was lowering income taxes. I wish it had been more of a flat tax, but still a huge step in the right direction. Grover, thanks for your time.
Phone's blowing up, but you're in the driver's seat. Ignore the buzz, keep your eyes on the street. No text back, no scroll, just let it wait. Attention on the road, that's the only way. Phone's blowing up, but you're in the driver's seat. Ignore the buzz, keep your eyes on the street.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
How do airplanes fly? What's in this box? What does this thing do?
Kids are curious about everything, including guns. Learn how to store your gun securely and make your home safer at nfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by N Family Fire, Brady, and the Ad Council.